position is very clear that at the meeting that was done on the 16th of December last year, government did not have a position paper in terms of what it was offering to the civil servants. And it promised that it would convey a meeting by the 3rd of January in order to give a position from the government to the workers so that we deliberate and reach finality in terms of the negotiations. But surprisingly, the 3rd of January passed without a word from the government team leader, and we are left wondering what is really happening. And the government team leader is evasive, elusive, and arrogant, and we are really perturbed that there is no indication as to when the government would meet the Apex Council, and we are under pressure from our members that they need to know the government position before schools open, because the government has taken them for granted for too long.
Mr. Coulthard, clearly teachers are frustrated, and Mr. Zhou accuses government officials of being elusive and arrogant. What can you say as the education minister?
Well, I don't think that Mr. Zhou is saying that I'm elusive. Personally, I think he's talking about the government. I've always had a very good relationship with the trade unions, and my door is always open. They know that, and we frequently meet and discuss matters. The Ministry of Education is not the employer in this situation. It's the Public Services Commission. And to that extent, I have not been involved as minister in any of these negotiations. My own attitude is that I'm very sympathetic towards the plight of teachers. I've been doing whatever I can to try and improve their conditions of service. But as a government, we're in a very tight position. For example, just at the education budget last year, our non-salary allocation was $66 million, of which we only received $14.8 million. And part of the reason why we were short of some $50 million to maintain schools and run them is because government scraped the barrel to pay civil servants the increase. And so I know that the Minister of Finance has very limited space in which to move. So whilst I'm very sympathetic towards the teachers, I just don't know where we're going to find the money that the teachers are demanding in the context of an economy which is only just picking up speed, and in a context of very limited inflows to Treasury. So in conclusion, I hope that the trade union leaders will recognize that. They, in my experience in the last 3 years, have always acted in a very responsible and patriotic fashion and in the best interests of children. And as we all know, the group of our society that will suffer the most if schools don't open next week will be innocent children.
Mr. Zhou, what can you say about this? Because this has been an ongoing problem. What is the way forward when the government says it has no money?
I think the fundamental issue is that there is no political will in terms of prioritizing education as priority number one, to an extent that you see a number of other ministries getting lots and lots of monies for no apparent reason. While I would not mention ministries, but it is interesting if you would see the budget, that one, it does not meet the developmental budget standards as enunciated by UNESCO, where the education budget must hover above 22% of the total budget. Our budget was not around that. It was about 17% of the total budget. But at the same time, we also have other ministries that are allocated almost half the budget allocated to education when we have no and the like. And the other issue also is that we still have also ghost workers on the bill, which we are paying. And we can, if we clean this bill, we have about 75 or even less, whatever the number. But we can at least add something to teachers by cleaning the bill which we are paying, which is so exorbitant. And the other issue is that we can also harness our minerals to the best and ensure that we pay civil servants, particularly hard-working teachers, taking cogs and more, that there is proliferation of the minerals and there is stealing. So I think it's a question of priority rather than a question of lack of resources or lack of money.
Do you agree, Minister Coulthard?
Violet, obviously I agree. I've been saying for several months now that we need to prioritize education. I was deeply concerned by the fact that we only got 14.8 million of the 66 million allocated to us, and that other ministries got proportionately much greater amounts than that. So it's difficult to argue against that position enunciated by Mr. Zog. You know, we've got to do two things as government. We've got to have policies that are going to grow Zimbabwe's economic cake, but secondly, in the interim, because that cake will only grow slowly, pending that growth, we clearly have to try and make savings elsewhere, root out ghost workers, and make education a priority. Sadly, I think that even if we do that, we're not going to yield sufficient money to get teachers up to a viable salary. You know, I should think that if the teachers at least recognize that we are trying to do this, that will give them confidence that we are serious about making education a priority.
But what happens in cabinet when you discuss these issues? Because teachers are also complaining that if the government can afford to pay MPs $15,000 each at a time like this, why can they also not at least meet the minimum requirements that are being demanded by the civil servants? What can you say about this?
Violet, obviously I can't disclose what goes on in cabinet. I'm bound by the Official Secrets Act. But in response to your question about, for example, the MPs, the problem that we face, of course, is that if that amount is indeed paid to MPs, it will cost the fiscus around about $3 million. In other words, there are only 201 MPs that we have to deal with, whereas we have over 100,000 teachers ostensibly on our payroll, and you'll appreciate that even a minimal increase of you know, for example, $1,000 per teacher over a year dramatically increases our bill. It doesn't justify it, but it just illustrates the problem that because of the massive number of teachers, whatever small change we make to teachers' salaries has a huge impact on the bottom line. And we saw that in July when the salaries went up. They didn't go up that dramatically, but that increase, which mainly went to teachers, because teachers comprise something like 65% of the total civil service, it drained the country's resources, and in the second half of the year, virtually every single ministry was starved of money for capital projects, maintenance, and the like. But when we do pay allowances to MPs, when we do things that perhaps benefit us as ministers, the problem about that is not so much the figures, but that it does convey that we are perhaps asking others to tighten our belts when we're not ourselves prepared to tighten our own belts. And I just feel that we will get through this crisis if there's a sense amongst our teachers that the whole nation is pulling together. It seems to me from my discussions with them that they understand the plight of the country, and that these issues arise when they feel that they're not being taken seriously and that we as government have got skewed priorities.
Mr. Zhou, are you at least happy that the rural teachers are now going to be getting allowances?
Yes, if the teachers in rural areas are going to get allowances, they would be happy. But the great question of the day is, when are they going to start getting the allowances and how much is it? So I think we need to wait and see how much they are going to get, But all what cannot be denied is that a reasonable teachers in rural areas would act as an incentive to encourage others from colleges, from universities, also to go and teach in the rural areas. But we need more than that, just that allowance, because we need also the transport facility to improve also the infrastructure, because a number of them also want to be progressive and buy gadgets that are compliant with the 21st century. So we'll wait and see how much that would be.
Mr. Kotat, how much?
Could I just intervene on that one? Because regrettably, the Herald today has published a story on these allowances, which is not correct. I've written to the editor of the Herald to stress that whilst we have asked for rural allowances to be paid, there is no agreement in that regard, and I would not want my colleagues in the trade union movement or teachers to suffer from any misrepresentation. And I need to stress very clearly, we believe that rural allowances need to be reintroduced, but where the Herald said that they were going to be introduced immediately and used a figure of 20%, I'm afraid that was wrong. What I'm saying is that there has been no decision taken within Cabinet to pay those allowances. There's a lot of sympathy towards them, but we come back to this fundamental problem that the Minister of Finance faces of simply not having sufficient money. We have lobbied strenuously in the run-up to the budget for the reintroduction of rural allowances. It has been heard sympathetically, but I certainly have not been advised that the rural allowances are going to be paid, and so it's premature to say that they will be paid.
Mr. Zhou, Mr. Kotat says there's no decision has been made yet on the issue of rural allowances. So a final word on this.
It boils down to what we've always done. We have always said that we reach very progressive ideas with the ministry and particularly with the minister, but it falls short on implementation. So there's a lot of mistrust and lack of openness, and it becomes very difficult to reach on concrete issues or progressive ideas in this light of hide and seek. And so while it will reach very reasonable things with the minister, it falls on implementation where it involves other ministries.